Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, I believe, I think. You know, one of the things that we deal with, and I think sometimes what the Father said, Lord, I believe, help me with my unbelief. Do we ever worry about what we believe is true? And don't tell me that you never do that, because we all do that at times. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means that sometimes we are trying to look at things with our human mind and not relying on God. But what do you do if at the end of your time you're not sure? I'm going to tell you a story. I've used this before, but it's been a couple of years. When I was on my vicarage year in Cincinnati, I spent a lot of time at the VA hospital. And one of the people I was with who was in the last stages of life was a Lutheran chaplain, been in the Army. Okay, and I was talking with him, and he says, I got to tell you, I'm not sure I believe in everlasting life. Now, this is a Lutheran chaplain. And I said, well, brother, why? And he said, I've never been assured of this. All right, well, I'm just a vicar. I mean, this guy's been a pastor for 60 years or so. Don, have you ever run into anything like that in the past from pastors? Yeah, a person, yeah, but not a pastor. You know, somebody who's dedicated his life to proclaiming that message. And I said, well, Pastor, why do you feel that way? And he says, I can't believe that God cares about us. And I said, why is that? Well, he said, look at how big the universe is, and he cares about me? And I said, okay. What am I going to say? And I got to thinking, I said, Pastor, have you ever seen the Holy Spirit work in your life? And he said, well, yeah, I have. All right, well, if you've seen the Holy Spirit work in your life and you know that part of the Trinity is there, what about God's promise of eternal life? Why did he send Jesus if he's not there? By the way, this I just read the other day. They found a letter by Pontius Pilate written during his time that talks about the Jesus story and what he had to do and how he regretted doing it. All right, now we know from Josephus and during his history that it's there, but a letter from Pontius Pilate. We weren't even sure that Pontius Pilate was a real person, because there had been no supplementary things. You know, the Roman Empire kept a lot of records, doesn't mention Pontius Pilate. Then 2 years ago, they dug up a big stone that had him engraved, and it was a decree from Pontius Pilate, which is the first thing we'd ever seen to actually have his name on it on a non-biblical source. So, I look at all this stuff that is documented, and as the pastor and I were talking, of course I couldn't tell him that because it hadn't been discovered yet, but I said, Pastor, what are you afraid of? And they said, going to hell. Well, I said, if you're not sure you believe, why are you worried about hell? Of course, you know what he said to me. That's a good question. And so as we were talking, I said, if you believe in hell and you believe in something bad, isn't there always something that offsets it that's good? And he says, well, yeah. I said, if that's the case, is God's promise real? Otherwise, why did Jesus go to the cross and suffer and die for us if that promise wasn't real? And he says, I'm going to have to think about that. And I said, well, Pastor, think about it. I'll be back tomorrow. And one of the things that was such a blessing for me during this time period is the number of people that I sat with when they made that transition to the next stage of life. And you notice I didn't say when they died or passed away. Because believers, and this is something that just blew my mind, when they die, even if they're comatose or they don't talk, they reach out and they smile. What do they see that I don't? I have read the things that said, well, that's just the synapses in the brain firing at the time of death. Well, if that's the case, then it would be the same for everybody, right? James Moody, who was a emergency room doctor, wrote a series of books called Life After Life. Was not a believer to begin with, but he documented all these near-death experiences. And these near-death experiences, for the most part, usually are positive. And the people who come back, even if they were bad people, usually dedicate their lives to God because they know that there's something better in them. But it doesn't always work that way. You remember in the movie Ghost, okay, what happens at the end? Remember the black figures that come up and grab and go down? Folks, that happens. It's Ray Moody, not James Moody. Ray Moody had a person that he resuscitated 17 times. And about the sixth or seventh time, the guy said, Doc, don't let me go. And he says, what do you mean? He says, they told me I'm going down and they're waiting. These black figures are waiting to take me to hell. 17 times he resuscitated him. Guess what happened to the guy? Became a minister. God always has a plan, doesn't he? Lord, I believe, help me with my unbelief. Remember Thomas? What does Thomas say to the apostles after they said Jesus was here? Unless I can take my hand and stick it into the holes of his fingers and into his side, I won't believe. And Jesus appears behind him and says, peace be unto you. I wonder if Thomas wet his pants that day. Can you imagine having a dead man speak to me and turn around and it's Jesus? You know, one of the things that I've always wondered, what happens if Jesus and the apostles come through that door? Could it happen? You bet. Although he'd probably go to a bigger church someplace else, but, you know, could be he decides that we're the ones to be blessed. I think at that time I go, I'd probably stutter like mad and that kind of thing. Huh? Oh, yeah, here. Go ahead. I'm going to sit down and be quiet. But look at this. And that's one of the reasons I really wanted to stress the nunc dimittis today. Let's look at this. Lord, let thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Okay? Why according to thy word? Because if you're God's people, where are you going? Even in the Old Testament, right? For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And you're not looking at it like I am, but thy and salvation are capitalized. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Now remember, who did he see at this point? Jesus. But was Jesus the 33-year-old that we see? No, he's a little baby. How did he know who was involved in this? The Holy Spirit. How do we know? The Holy Spirit. Remember, faith is a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's not something we come up with. It's something that is given us. So is it our faith then, or Jesus' faith that enters us? Jesus's. Our faith is based on him and is a gift from him. It's what the Bible says. A light to lighten the Gentiles. All right, now stop and think. He's the head priest at the temple. He's a Jew, right? This is a light to lighten the Gentiles. The light, remember what John says at the beginning of his book? You know, he is the light of the world, the light no darkness can overcome. And here's Simeon, who's saying the same thing. It's a light to the Gentiles. Who are the Gentiles? Us. None of us grew up in the Jewish religion. Now, I have some Jewish blood in me. You can tell from the way I look. So, okay. And then what they do is they go into the doxology, glory be to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And I love the way this language says, as it was in the beginning, both now and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen. Where do we see the line ages of ages used in the New Testament? In the book of Revelation. You know, it's just there are so many important things that come out of this nunc dimittis. And what nunc dimittis means in Latin is let me depart. Okay? We're done. Yeah, on the day we die, Lord, now lettest thou now thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. If we could say that, wasn't it a good life? I've all told you the story, my Aunt Lizzie. But remember what she said? Because 98, 8 months, was farming, tractor overturns on her. And I'm sorry. I'm talking to her. And I said, she said, don't come, in that Russian voice. Okay, don't come. And I said, well, Aunt Lizzie, they say you're going to die. Yeah, isn't that great? I don't know about you, but I never expected to hear that. But what she said, I outlived all my kids. Lottie was the last one of her children was still alive. She was 77. Okay. She outlived her husband. She had outlived all her friends. And what she said next just sort of put everything in perspective. I had a great life, and I'm ready to go be with Jesus. Love you. And she hung up the phone. How many of us on that same time period can I say, I love you, and I'm ready to go be with Jesus? I'm excited. What a blessing it would be to go that way, wouldn't it? I was visiting a parishioner in Cincinnati in an old folks' home, and they had given him this medication. I couldn't wake him up. Well, here I am. You know, since it was Missouri Synod, any time I visited, I had the black suit on. I looked like a Roman Catholic priest. And so I decided, well, if he's going to sleep, I'm going to wait. So I went from room to room. Hey, can I share some scripture with you? Walked into a room. Elderly black gentleman had a tie on. I mean, he was laying in bed with a tie on, with his feet sprawled, watching TV. Probably 6'6", 6'7", like that. Big man. And I said, hi, can I share some scripture with you? Sure, come on in. I mean, it was just like that. So I walked in and... You know, I think I shared John 14. I am the resurrection and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then we talked, and I said, what does that mean to you? He said, that's a good question. But he says, whatever Jesus does for me, I appreciate it, and I'm ready to go with him. And I said, oh, that's great. You know, and we really had a nice discussion that day. So I went home, came back a couple days later. I'm on the elevator. A young black gentleman gets on the elevator with me. But he's only like 5'10", 5'11", something like that. He said, did you go up on the fourth floor and visit a black gentleman up there that's real tall? I said, yeah. I thought, all right, what did I do wrong this time? And he says, I got to tell you. He says, did he tell you that he's in a retired Assemblies of God minister? I said, no. He says, I got to tell you what he said to me. He said, do you realize that Lutherans believe in the Bible? Well, he would had been told that that's not the case. You know, and I, you know, it's sad, but that's the thing. We're probably more fundamental than most of the Protestant denominations, simply because if it isn't in the Bible, we don't believe it. If it is in the Bible, we believe it. Might not understand it all the time, but, you know, if the Bible says it, you know, we do it. So I said, no. I said, was he upset? He said, no, he really enjoyed your visit. Would you go back and see him again? I said, I will go and see him every time I'm here. And I did. We got to be pretty good friends. But, you know, the thing is, it's interesting how the Holy Spirit works. Usually around Christmas time, and I do this, I don't broadcast it, but what I do is I'll go up to a hospital. And I'll take a, I usually take a recorder and my Bible and a hymnal. And I'll go to the nurse's station. I said, who is here and never gets any visitors? Well, give me the room numbers and their names. So they do. And so I'll go in and sit down with them. Hey, can I read you a little bit of scripture? And then when I do that, it's always Luke 2, the Christmas story. And I said, since we're in Christmas, you want to sing a Christmas carol with me? Oh, yeah, that'd be great. And so I do that. You know, they never get any visitors. And then here's somebody who's a minister coming and visiting them and making their day brighter. I've done that now for 15 years. But part of the thing is, too, that you can really bring the love of Christ to somebody so easily. And I think it goes back to what we're talking about today. Lord, I believe. Help me with my unbelief. You can't tell me that somebody is sitting in that room by themselves day after day after day, they don't start questioning God. And so if somebody who is a vicar of God, in the Missouri Synod, a practice pastor is called a vicar. Why? Anybody remember? I've said it before. All right, when Jesus died on the cross, in Latin, it's called vicarious atonement. Okay, you see the word vicar at the beginning of vicarious? Well, we know what it means to atone, don't we? Okay, think about it in English. At one, at atonement, the act of being at one with God, atonement. So, to vicariously is someone who stands in the place of, which is our place, and atones for our sins. Vicarious atonement. Okay, it's one of those shorthands that you do in the church. So, a vicar is somebody who stands in the place of God in for you. Well, that's a lot of responsibility, isn't it? So what happens if that vicar who is standing there doesn't believe? Boy, there's a good question. And I think that's why God brought me in to talk to that Lutheran pastor who was questioning his belief. For one thing, it was something that was very important to me. You know, the year before I went on vicarage, I did a summer vicarage in Archbold, Ohio, and I've told you about this before. We had a couple. He was a former monk. She was a former nun who had gotten married, joined the Lutheran church. She was possessed. All right. Well, we don't really do a lot of work with can't think of the word. Say it again. Well, dealing with demonic spirits, or exorcism, there we go. And so we went to the Catholic priest and said, we think that in the area, we think she's possessed by a demon. And could we do the, could the Catholic Church do an exorcism? He said, no. And of course, why? Because she was a former nun, he's a former priest, and since they left the church, they won't do it for him. But they have no problem with you two doing it. And this was the pastor I was with. And we looked at him and said, we aren't trained in that. And he said, and he pulled out, it's called the Liber Ut Vocis. It's all the services of the Roman Catholic Church. And open it up to the part on exorcism. And he says, I will work with you and train you how to do this. Okay. You think of the movie The Exorcist? Okay. Well, I had trouble really thinking that that happened. So anyway, we dressed up. Since the monk had been a Catholic priest too, he put his clericals back on with his surplice and all this other stuff. We were in our robes. And we went into this room. Okay. We were praying the Lord's Prayer. We did all the things in the movie The Exorcist. You ever seen it? That's what we did. Folks, we got picked up and thrown out of the room, all three of us. All right. Why am I telling you this story again? Because I never really believed in evil until we did that exorcism. I believed in God. I didn't believe in evil like that until it takes an throws it in my face and said, I think we need your attention on this. Later on, I told the story at the seminary when we were sitting in Revelation. And it was really interesting because we had about, probably 50 people in this class. And we had a bunch of black pastors from Africa up at the top who were working on their SCS and their doctorates. And I can still remember Dr. Geishan was talking about exorcisms. And a couple of the brothers said, oh, that's ridiculous. And then I told the story. And Dr. Geishan said, thank you so much for telling this. He looked up at the black pastors and he said, how many of you have taken part in an exorcism? Every single hand went up. Lord, I believe, help me with my unbelief. So look at it this way. If you see evil is real, is good real? Yes. But sometimes right now, we are under such power of being assailed by what's going on out there that we sort of forget that we are God's vicar. We, not just me, all of us, all y'all, are God's vicar. And if you don't stand up for God, who is? Good question, isn't it? I'm going to let you chew on that one for a while. Folks, I hope, you know, today I told you a lot of stories, which I usually don't do. I usually go into Scripture. But I think it was important today because what we're talking about, belief and unbelief, we have all experienced. May this story about belief help you in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen.